Before we begin tonight, I would like to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your blessing throughout this day. Thank you for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord. And I pray, oh God, tonight you help us to gain from your word, to be blessed. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like tonight to do what I would describe as a short study on a word that we've used several times in the last couple of weeks. And that is the word repentance. Repentance. One of the great ways to study the Bible is to do a word study. In other words, you look up all the references you can find on the word you wish to define and understand. A concordance is almost necessary unless you've read the Bible through 400 times and have it memorized. But it's a wonderful way to study the Bible. It's actually, I think I would rate it as number one for myself. One of the reasons I say that is because in doing so, oftentimes sermons are born out of that kind of study. And it's magnificent to me. As you read and then reread those references, you can begin to put them in categories. You begin to look at this verse and you think, hey, that goes with this verse here. And when I really get serious about it on the computer, the program I use, I can actually print out all of those verses. And so I can go down through there and begin to look at that. Put them in categories. Then I seek to give each category some sort of phrase of identification. It might be one word. It might be a phrase, and that is to basically put a title over those verses that you believe God wants you to put together. What comes forth is an outline or a skeleton, if you please, of the structure of that particular word. And to me, it's fascinating. Brother Al Wells was a student of words and often made mention of that. And as I begin to think about what he said, I begin to do that on a very regular basis. Tonight we're going to look at a word. That word, of course, is repentance. And I hope to draw a few conclusions that, I've made these conclusions, and I hope to share them with you. Not using all the verses in tonight's message, but there are several of them. So first of all, as I look into the Word of God, I'm going to go to 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 9. Don't make that one of your questions. Folks are not going to remember all these references. But the Bible says in 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When I read that verse, what becomes very obvious to me is God's will is that we repent. The word repentance or repent implies a change of mind about my sin and Savior. It's very important that we understand and realize that we have to turn away from something and turn unto something. It's a change of mind. It's a change of direction, if you please. And so we see our sin as horrible against God. I've mentioned this recently. I never really thought about it before. But a lot of folks, they will agree with you that they are sinners. But they really don't stop and consider themselves sinners exceedingly before God and against God. They will admit to sin in general, but not realizing what David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And when that particular thought really enters into the heart and the mind, a person is in a spot where they can say, hey, listen, there needs to be a change in my life. Interesting as we think about it, it is God's will. We find something else, I believe Chad got on this the other day, but it is to be preached. In Luke 24 and verse 47, it says, "But that that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And so he's telling us here, there are two things he wants us to preach. One is repentance, and of course, when we repent, there's the remission of sin. We find something interesting, and that is Jesus preached repentance. In Luke 5:31, Jesus answering said to them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Aren't you glad of that? Because we are sin sick, and he came to bring healing to us spiritually. It was his purpose for coming. In Acts chapter number 5, verse 31, it says, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Did you notice in both of those verses there's an order? It is repentance and then forgiveness. We find also from the Word of God that John the Baptist preached repentance. The Bible says in chapter 3, verse 11 of Matthew, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And so we find God wants us to preach it, to spew forth this truth about repentance. Jesus did so, John the Baptist did so, and you and I are not exempt from such a proposition. So first of all, it's God's will. Secondly, it is to be preached as John did, as Jesus did, and as you and I are also to preach repentance. The third thing I want to look at, and I had a hard time putting the title on this one, but it's progressive. In other words, as I look at repentance, there's some things that are in an order that is important for us to understand. In Acts 20, verse 21, it says, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Faith comes seemingly from that verse and others after we have repented. We're crying out to God and we're believing what he says to us. I'm not sure you could put a big time gap in there, but it's almost simultaneous. But repentance must be there as well as the faith. An interesting thing we find in the book of Romans is that the goodness of God leads us to it. I would think that as you consider the Lord God, that his judgment hand would be that which leads us to repentance. But that's not what the Bible says. In Romans 2:4 it says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." It leads us to a change of mind about God, his great goodness to us in spite of our sin, and it brings us to that spot where we turn to him. Have you found that you can take a very ornery, bad, vindictive child and just showing some kindness and love, and you will change his heart much faster than if you're constantly hollering at them? Matter of fact, parents make a great mistake by hollering. God has a method. It's called the paddle or the board, the belt. It's called the rod in the Word of God. It's applied with love. One of the great things that one ought to do after they have spanked their child is to take that child, let them know that you did it because you love them and you want to see changes in their life. And it works. I find something else. Godly sorrow works repentance as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he says, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were for a season. Now I rejoice, and that ye were made sorrow, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, and to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now it's interesting to me, and I read all of that. First of all, he sent them a letter, and that letter had really been judgmental of some of their living, especially one case where a man was actually living with, in a bad situation with his mother-in-law. That takes away all of Ron, what is his name? Ron's out all of his jokes. Anyways, we find that God tells us here, though I made you sorry with a letter, it started with a letter. I believe, I make the application, it starts with the Word of God. What do we need to hear from God? How do we know His goodness? How do we know about Him? It's because we find it in the Word of God and we begin to believe it. Notice also it says, after a godly manner. That's interesting to me. God says that they were made sorry after a godly manner. In other words, they had something to change from, and that was evil unto that which was right. And it says, after a godly manner. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25 says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And so when I look after a godly manner, I believe that what he's saying here is that they've been instructed from the Word of God, and they've turned unto Him through repentance. That's after a godly manner. By the way, that verse also helps me to understand that the Bible's teaching us that repentance is indeed a change of mind as they are giving themselves over to the acknowledging of the truth. So they're going from falsehood unto truth. And it's a change of mind. We find in one occasion a man who the Bible says, though he sought it with tears, he couldn't find repentance, even though he had the emotions, because it was not a change of mind. He was upset because he didn't get the blessing, but there was not that change of mind. Don't mistake repentance as being the emotion that's going to display itself in great sorrow, where a person bawls and wail and go through all sorts of emotional things. Now, you might be emotional, and that may happen, but that doesn't make your repentance any better than the fellow who doesn't show anything. Amen? So be careful of that. It's one of the things that oftentimes we as preachers allow to creep in. And because we don't see certain outside signs, we think, well, they never really got saved. But what we have to do is stop and remember what John said, bring forth therefore fruits of repentance. Because one who truly repents is going to have a change, not only of mind, but also of their behavior. For if your mindset has been changed, guess what? You behave as you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so we have a tremendous thought here about repentance or thoughts. It is God's will. It is to be preached by us unto a world that needs it desperately. And it is progressive. It's that which is not going to happen in just a moment or two. When I was in Bible college, I was taught, honestly, I was taught this, that I should be able to win anybody to Christ in 10 minutes. We were taught to go to a house, and this was in our personal evangelism class, We were taught to go to a house, knock on the door, and when they came to the door, find something really nice to compliment them about. Now, that's not a bad idea. And take about 5 or 6 minutes just for a little chit-chat, perhaps on the thing you complimented them for. And then you turn the tables and ask them the question, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And our professor, who was really a smart aleck, he said, if you can't do that in 10 minutes, you can't win anybody to Christ. And I thought, well, that's a stupid statement, not really knowing much else. But as I look back at it, it was more stupid than I realized, because it's going to take some time. And a person comes to the realization of who they are, who God is, and the fact they've sinned against an almighty God, and they want this thing fixed, because they realize without God in their life, it's not going to work. Amen.